Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three on Hump Day. And you know the deal, we always start the show on Hump Day by hearing from the camel, but then we hit hour number three. That means it's time for the Grand Council. So let me just jump on into the Grand Council where I bring in two of my brethren in talk radio and call the roll to see if we have a quorum. So turning my eyes to the north, sitting up there at WVNN, Cumulus Broadcasting, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, host of the Dale Jackson Show, also does a gig with Yellowhammer and has a TV thing, allegedly. Dale Jackson, are you there? You are indeed.
You've been on the TV thing. Why do you say allegedly? Come on now.
I don't know. I like it's fun. Okay, so turning my eyes southward, down yonder on the Gulf of America coastline, that would be host of the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5, editor-in-chief of 1819 News, and, oh, by the way, does a lot of things like Breitbart and Land Yap and other stuff, too. Jeff Poor, are you there?
I'm present.
You are indeed, and we're glad. And you're on vacation, and you're still here, so we appreciate it doubly. All right. I pronounce a quorum. Hit it, JP.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Yada. Ba-da. All right, because Jeff Poor chose to call in during his vacation, which is like doubly appreciated, I'm going to let him go first. Jeff, what you got, man?
It sounds like the Howard Stern Show is getting canceled from satellite radio.
Wow.
Sounds like the latest victim of the Trump derangement syndrome starting to show some fatalities here after Stephen Colbert. Who's next?
Well, I mean, we just saw The View went on quote-unquote hiatus, but we don't have any word about what that really means yet. But I think The View is about to be done. And then, what was it, Joy Reid? She's already gone. I don't know, man, but I think MSNBC might be gone as a network. That's what I'm starting to wonder about. Dale, what do you think, bud?
I think they're spinning off MSNBC, so my guess would be somebody with a lot of money and no desire for, well, not no desire, but less of a profit motive is interested in that. I think the next big thing is you're going to see even more of ESPN's more political stuff get tamped down. They've already kind of dropped some of it, but it looks like they're getting ready to expand their offerings in the form of sports. They got the NFL, the WWE, and stuff like that. Recently, but I they're big name personalities. I think they'll trim some of those guys who won't stop being political.
Well, Stephen A. was actually like his contract says he could be political, right?
Yeah, but he's a different animal. That's different than their other their other shows, and their other shows don't do very well. Stephen A. Smith is a juggernaut.
He is a force into his own. All right, so Jeff, I mean, I'm speculating that The View is gone for good. But what are your thoughts? Your own question. What's gone? What's leaving?
I mean, like. Well, it's kind of, you know, I guess what I was kind of more going for was more like less news and media, more pop culture celebrities. I think they got to like for Hollywood to be profitable. It's, I mean, you know, these movies aren't doing as well as they used to do. They gotta start toning down the political stuff. And so watch some of these A-listers, if they become a little less outspoken just because the dollars and cents are going to make them.
Well, and I think you're going to start looking at contract actions. I think you're going to start seeing if like if the entire cast of all the Marvel Avengers movies wants to get online and endorse Kamala Harris like they did, all except Chris Pratt, thank you very much, then I think you're going to start seeing contracts specifying that they won't be outspoken about political events and they have to volunteer because it's a First Amendment issue. But I think you're going to see people getting contract actions that say, curtail your speech. Any further thoughts on that, Dale, chiming in?
No, I think Jeff's right. I mean, Hollywood's always going to try to slowly lurch to the left. The Sydney Sweeney thing is probably a little bit of an eye-opener for them. They tried to combat it with, oh, yeah, well, look at this great ad with Beyonce. And it's like, all right, cool. Nobody should be upset about that except for maybe Megyn Kelly for some weird reason. But, I mean, I guess they're going that path. But, yeah, maybe. Maybe that's it.
All right, next question. Take it, Dale. What do you got?
All right, Jabari Peoples, now the video has been seen by the family, and of course, not good enough is the refrain that we expected to hear from the family, which means, of course, it is exactly as was described the first go-round by the police, the shooting in Homewood, Alabama, where an individual who they're referring to, and let me see if I understand this, the DA referred to him as a good boy who has done a bad thing, and that's not an exact quote, but yeah. I'll tell you, good boys... don't go for the gun when you're busted for weed. Why are we doing that? Why are we pretending? And has there been a better thing for police in the last 40 years that I've been alive than the cameras, automatic cameras everywhere?
Oh, no.
Is that not the best thing that's ever happened to them?
Oh, yeah, that's like a game changer. It's become, you can have a YouTube channel just on nothing but body cam videos.
Oh, they exist.
They do. I know. I've seen some of them. But I will say this. We had a pool going here in the Right Side studio as to whether or not the first question was going to be Dale with Jabari Peoples. But is that true? You did not disappoint.
Good for you guys.
So, yeah, I looked at it. I saw the article earlier. And I looked at it earlier and I saw the first thing I saw was the activist attorney, what's his name, Crum, who's working for the family. First thing he says was, this was an edited Aaliyah video. We want actual justice. I'm thinking, stop it, man. You're nothing but, you're a panderer. Let this family grieve and move on. But he's trying to fan the flames, and I'm not buying it. But anyway, Jeff, weigh in. What you got, bud?
I still think they're angling for a settlement from the city of Homewood. Get something out of it. That's why you hear this kind of showboating, Ben Crump attorneying. So that's, but clearly with Danny Carr, somebody said about being a good kid or whatever, he's just playing to a Democratic base in Jefferson County.
Yeah,
sure.
It wasn't worth it. He could have stopped right there, but he had to go and say good kid, bad thing. So ain't worth it. All right, let me take this question before we go to the break. So Marsha Blackburn announced today that she's running for governor of Tennessee. Not unexpected, but yet it hadn't been official until today. So now you've got Marsha Blackburn running in Tennessee. You've got, of course, Tuberville running here in Alabama. We're watching some of what I would consider to be some of the staunchest and most outspoken conservatives in the U.S. Senate leaving to go do other things. Of course, Mark Green already left the House to just retire. Are we seeing an exodus, and do we have hope that we'll replace them with the right kind of folks, if you will? Dale, you first.
Well, in Tennessee, what they're going to do is Marsha Blackburn is going to win that thing. She has 82% approval rating amongst the base and the primary voters, and then she's going to get to appoint her own successor, which may be Dale Jackson. I don't know. But the fact is, I think she'll replace herself with someone who's like-minded. And I think that's going to be that. There's also Nancy Mace in South Carolina, Tommy Tuberville, and all these guys. And I don't think there's any doubt that we'll send similar like-minded people back. I'm not concerned about that at all. I think they just decided it's easier to be at home. If you're 70 years old, Nancy Mace is a little different. Tuberville and Marsha, both Marsha Blackburn, are in their 70s, are close, and they probably want to be around grandkids. And, you know, Tuberville wants to be closer to the beach.
Okay, Jeff, what are you thinking?
No, I would add this, though. There's probably some truth to that, but Marsha Blackburn and Tommy Tuberville were never going to be high-ranking members of the United States Senate. It's never were. They were always kind of backbenchers, more ideological, made for TV, made for cable news type of U.S. senators, and you know, it's an uphill fight. You got to go raise money for the party, and you know, you got to Katie Britt it up to get. So I think you see that exodus because of just the way, the nature of the beast of Washington, D.C.
Yeah, and I tell you what, I think, too, that they also realize in the era post-COVID how much impact a governor can, like a chief executive can have. They're watching Trump do it at the federal level, and I think there's also some indication that I can be one of 100. And not have a major committee chairmanship, or I can go home, live in my home state, and I can be the one of one who can help drive the train on things that I really care about. And I think there's some ideological stance on this as well. I mean, I really do. All right, that was easy. That was uncontroversial. And Dale Jackson did not disappoint. He went with Jabari Peoples. So all right, we're taking round one. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, Grand Council with Jeff Poor, Dale Jackson, and myself. Round two coming up. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, so we're going back to round two of the Grand Council with Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson. Round two, first question, Jeff Poor, what you got?
Texas redistricting.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of watching it from afar. I haven't been plugged in, but
Man, these guys want us to care a lot more than I think the public's got the juice to care about.
I think the story became the Democrats running away. It's like a scene from a Monty Python movie, you know, run away, run away. I think that, and what really kills me is they're doing stuff like talking about beating their chest about how brave they are, taking a stand. And it's just, it's nuts. They even went so far, the runaway Democrats, to post one of their replies that said, come and take it, which is attributed to the 300 Spartans who stood in the face of the Persian army and like didn't run away. I know the whole thing is nuts. The only question I have out of this, though, is it going to create a gerrymandering war? Is Texas going to succeed, which their constitution allows them to, and then other states start looking at their constitutions in California and New York, try to draw their lines even worse than they already are? I could see that being a thing, a big thing. Dale?
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely going to start a war where people draw lines and all these other things. And, excuse me, the New York Times had a story out not too long ago where they said Democrats are kind of screwed on this if this does go that way, because they themselves have already gerrymandered a lot of states.
Yeah.
So they have a hard time doing it. I mean, the bigger question on this is, what are they doing to gerrymander Terry Sewell and Shamari Figures out of their districts? I mean, well, let's go. If you want to play the game, let's go. It's either good for everyone or good for no one. And if they're going to do it, write those guys out.
Well, and the Supreme Court is talking about taking up the Louisiana versus Marseille case, which is going to be something that determines a lot, to include whether Alabama can go back and draw its lines again, because the question of race should or should not be considered. I think this is the fight of the future. I mean, I really think that, you know, the narrow margins we constantly see in the House and the Senate, there's only one way to break that right now, and somebody has identified that as being redistricting. Your own question, Jeff. What are you thinking?
No, I think there's some truth to the redistricting when it comes to Democrat states, because they've already redistricted the hell out of their districts. The problem is a lot of red states still have hanging over their head the Voting Rights Act of 1965. The sins of the last century that we're still paying for in red states. I mean, that's the only thing that's keeping this, because, I mean, this is it's Constitution 101. It's a delegated authority to the state legislatures to draw lines for congressional representation. Elections have consequences. You put these state lawmakers in their state capitals, and they're going to do what they do. And if you don't like it, vote new ones in. But we don't have that kind of system. We have all these, like, you know, protections and things like that. And until we get past the VRA, if we ever do, then I don't know. It's going to be hard to see this as being a net win-win.
Yeah, that's why I'm wondering what's going to happen if the court takes up that Louisiana case. I mean, right now, like, look at the thing we just had with Alabama. I said this, some of the same things you just said, I said yesterday too, that what we're looking at here is the Voting Rights Act is overstayed its welcome. And yet we were told, you can't use race. And then we were told, you didn't use race enough. And now we have Shamari Figures. So the whole thing is asinine. I think the Louisiana case could be the game changer if that really goes down that road. Next question. Dale, what do you got?
All right. This may be, you guys probably not like this, but I'm going to talk about Epstein. Was that on the poll too? Because I will tell you, I like the idea that they're subpoenaing Jeff Sessions and every attorney general of the last 20 years, Hillary and Bill Clinton, Robert Mueller for some reason. I'm fine with this. But why don't they just attack on 2016? Because there seems like there's a lot of overlap in this.
Well, right now, CNN's talking about Epstein, too. I mean, they're up on the screen in my studio. They're having an Epstein strategy dinner, which is now in flux because there's been too much coverage about the meal. I mean, it's ridiculous. By the way, what is the connection with Jeff Sessions? What is the connection that they believe? I guess because he was the Attorney General of the United States. Yeah, okay. So it's not – all right. Is it going away? The Dems don't want it to go away. It's all they've got to talk about, even though the reality is it may wind up working worse for them if it all comes out. I think the bigger story is what's happening with Ghislaine Maxwell. Jeff?
No, I mean, I think such a small fraction of people really care about this. I mean, am I wrong? Like, I'm entertained by it. I'm intrigued by it. But I don't think this is moving any polling. I think this is just straight up sort of media concoction And
I don't agree with that.
Talk about conspiracy theories. Twitter is not the real world, Senator. I just don't think people, this doesn't have the juice it once had.
Yeah, that was Dale saying he doesn't agree with that. But I am right down in the, I'm in the place where I'm with you. I'm fascinated by the story to a degree, except that I don't think it's the story the left wants it to be.
And I agree with that.
And it's also getting so overplayed right now. Now, the part that bothers me is there are kid victims out there who are never going to get justice. And that bugs the crap out of me. But I also understand as an attorney, you just can't throw everybody's name out in the public arena and have guilt by implication. And so they're in a real conundrum about what they can release and what they can't. A lot of which is still bound up by a court in New York on a gag order. But all right, Dale, cap it off. What do you think about it?
Well, I think that people are fascinated, like you just said. I think it's beyond politics, and I think it weakens Trump's base a little bit with the people who are convinced that Donald Trump was going to show us where the UFOs are, show us who killed JFK and MLK, and produce a list of this. And some of those people think that the common denominator is the Jews, obviously. So you have a lot of that where people did not get what they wanted here. And I think they're still digging. And I think a lot of those people are Trump supporters.
Well, and I also think there's always going to be single issue voters who came into it with one thing they wanted. One thing, just one thing. And if they don't get the one thing, the world came to an end.
They need five people that are not going to vote for Trump because of Epstein.
And that's, I can't. I don't think there's, I don't think it's going
to
be
exist.
The.
This doesn't move the needle, guys. This is fun to talk about. But at the end of the day, it's not like you're going to have a defection to the Democratic Party because Donald Trump's not releasing the stupid Epstein files.
And I agree with that. I think that's exactly right. I think by the time the election gets here, it's not going to be the
issue. But if you chip away at trust, and that's what this is about, chipping away at trust, that's what it's about.
Ever since Trump came down the escalator.
As long as he's Teflon, he's good, except for that time in 2000 when he lost, or 2020 when he lost.
Is this where they're getting...
It's just, well, I had a whole nother question I was going to ask, but now I'm out of time. All right. Appreciate you both. Enjoy your vacation, Jeff. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. You guys stay tuned. Last half hour on Hump Day coming up. We'll be right back.